Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go tonight as we bring you another live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. Winston Smith still in studio with me. And we've covered a lot of ground already. A great interview with John Derbyshire exceeded expectations, as they always do.
That's going to be one of my favorite interviews.
And you were a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? You just didn't know how well it was going to go tonight because you didn't have that much information on Derbyshire's background. And I could tell as the interview was going on, you were just falling in love.
Well, I would say the content, of course. I think we could enjoy a pint of Guinness together.
I think you and he have a lot in common.
From China to math, to English, to literature.
Anyway, what else have we covered? We talked about the Mexican man selling his daughter for beer and meat. And a little later, we're going to be talking about the auction. The student auctioned off her virginity for $3.7 million. Winston, I didn't know you had that kind of money. You've been holding out.
If I did, I wouldn't spend it. Now I know why
you haven't been able to donate to the show.
If I did have that much money, I certainly wouldn't spend it on a skank like that.
Well, we'll talk about that. We're not even going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about that later. What I want to talk about right now is a big pet peeve of mine, and you know what it is. It's speeding tickets. Because you know, how many speeding tickets have I gotten?
Well, you know that sign above McDonald's that says 70 million served? You're competitive.
Well, Art always ragged me in the studio about, you know, because I always got pulled over. And especially anytime I go through Summerton, Alabama. Folks, if you're listening and you have to drive through central Alabama in between, before you get to Birmingham on your way to Atlanta, avoid Summerton at all costs. I got two tickets there in the same weekend, Winston, and I've never gone through there where I haven't gotten a ticket. I've gotten no less than four tickets in this one little speed trap of a city. But anyway, I'm saying all this for a reason. A story we've got here, ticket riding rises in a slump. The economy's in the toilet, so do yourself a favor and ease up on the accelerator. That's the indirect message of a recent study by two economists who found that when government revenues dry up, police start writing more speeding tickets. And you know, Winston, that's what I've always complained about on this show. You know, it's all another form of tax.
Law, man.
No, don't give me that. No. I mean, if you're going 90, you know, in a 60 like I was, the last time I was in Alabama, I'll pay that. But if you're going 55 and a 50, like I've also gotten tickets for here in Bartlett because, you know, they've got nothing better to do. They don't here in Bartlett. I mean, it's all white. There's no crime. They don't do anything except sit around and give speeding tickets.
James, you do bring up a good point, though, about the rise in tickets coinciding with downturn in economy. What was that I heard?
That was our producer saying you have 1 minute before we have to go to the next commercial break.
But James, the problem with what's happening is that these municipalities are using the law, they're using the civil code as a way to generate revenue. But we remember that back in the Clinton administration, the Clintons were trying to use the tax code to manipulate morality with their sin taxes on smoking and drinking and things like that. And the problem is they've got it backwards. You don't use the civil code to generate revenue. You use that to manipulate morality, and you use the tax code to generate revenue. We've got it completely backwards now.
Well, that's just like I said, and I'm telling you. And if you want a textbook example, go to Summerton, Alabama. On their police cars, it doesn't say to protect and to serve. It says to punish and enslave. But thank
James,
God I've been able to
just
keep
obey the speed
afloat.
Limit, man.
I got to go to break. We'll be back to talk more about it later.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Don't forget, coming up a little bit later, another man making his first appearance ever on the Political Cesspool. And you thought, Winston, we had talked to everybody by now. We've talked to so many great people. Steve Saylor, and I'm really looking forward to that when he's coming up.
I am very surprised that he hasn't been on the show before.
Well, he's right up our alley. He's coming up in less than a half hour. But first of all, we got to get to our second of three guests, Ashley Russell. Now, this is one, Winston, that I know you always enjoy, because she's served as a Political Cesspool correspondent for a couple of years now and has reported on a variety of subjects, including live reports from the presidential primaries in South Carolina back, about a year ago this time, I guess it was, a little bit less than that. She's currently a student studying nutrition there in South Carolina and has worked, and we'll forgive her for this, on numerous Republican campaigns as a grassroots activist. So, Ashley, are you there?
I'm here.
And I hear tonight, we were talking, Winston and I were talking before the show, you and I were talking this week, we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about during this segment, and I don't think we ever really ironed it out, but it has something to do with nutrition, because I know that's what you're studying, and it's New Year's, right, Winston? It's time for everybody to make resolutions.
It is, and you should probably resolve to stop eating those things that are nothing more than fat held together with sodium.
Well, Ashley, how can we start? You know, and this is another thing that ties in with RBN, because every one of RBN's sponsors has something to do with, being healthy or supplements and things that are going to make us stronger so we can live longer and fight liberalism until, you know, as long as the Lord stays is coming. But anyway, Ashley, what can you tell us about that?
Lord, honestly, I don't know where to start. As I was telling you before earlier this week, I was sitting here doing a bunch of research trying to figure out what can I tell the listeners might be, you know, beneficial to them, intriguing, this and that. But honestly, sitting here, everything that I wanted to say, I had something else to talk about and, you know, something else to brush up on. So, I mean, honestly, I'm guessing I'm going to take this time and just really talk about a few points, some tips here and there, you know, what you can do inside the house if you go out to eat that might be able to benefit y'all.
This would be basic information for some of the people who actually live right already. But, you know, Winston, I've never had a salad. So this is going to be news to me.
That's kind of scary.
you wretched man, Ashley. I gotta ask you. We gotta keep this really basic for James, since he subsists on crystals and Milky Way bars. So say somebody like James decides to obey the commandment that says thou shalt not kill, which covers our own bodies, by the way. and he decides. You know, I gotta start eating like a righteous white man. But I have these addictions to crystals and to Milky Way bars. How do I break these addictions and start eating in a more godly way?
Well, you know, the thing is that people, when they want to go on a diet, they think that they have to cut out everything completely. You know, you'll run into some nutritionists or some dietitians that will say that exactly. You got to cut it out. That way, you know, you'll never crave it again. I'm a little bit different. I say, you know, cut it out in moderation. Instead of having a whole Milky Way, you know, right then and there, eat half of it. Eat half of it for, I guess, you know, with your lunch as part of your dessert. Eat the other half for dinner. And then slowly cut that out of your diet and put something else in. Something
steps.
Else that's sweet. Huh? Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Baby steps.
Now, see, we talk about advanced issues on this program because our listenership is so smart when it comes to politics. But when it comes to something as simple as eating right, I mean, I have no – you know, I'm an expert on a lot of things, Winston. But I just don't know about this. So – I got to ask you this, Ashley. Now, when you graduate, you're going to be a dietitian or a nutritionist?
Well, actually, right now, that's actually one of my little soapboxes, because anybody can call them a nutritionist. And James, without you even having a salad, you can call yourself a nutritionist. There is no law saying you have to have X amount of education or you have to have this degree to consider yourself a nutritionist. So once I graduate and what I am now, I am considered a nutritionist. And after I graduate and after you're done with your program, you've got to go through an internship, which can last from 6 months to 2 years, depending on where you're accepted, if you're going to get your master's out of it, et cetera. And then you got to take your boards, your national boards. And then if you pass those, then you'll be considered a registered dietitian. So that is where I'm hoping to lead up to in the near future. I'll be putting all my applications together.
All right, so that's the end of the rainbow. So once you're registered dietitian, what do you do? Well, how do you help a guy like me? Because, you know, we got to have strong soldiers in this culture war, Winston, and we got
to... Well, first to help you, first you call an exorcist, and we have had an exorcist on the show.
Oh, wow.
We've had everybody on the show.
You really have.
Didn't he perform an exorcism on air, Winston?
Yeah, he performed an exorcism on Ted Kennedy. And he said you could do exorcisms while you're in the shower, and that was just the mental imagery there was just more than I can handle.
But anyway, back to the actual show. So you become a registered dietitian. How does that help? Say I wanted to come see you. What would you do to help me?
I don't know if there's really much help for you, honestly, if you don't eat your vegetables.
Well, she knows me, Winston.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of things. You know, being a dietitian, you're doing consulting. You're often in the hospital. There's endless jobs to doing. But so you'd be coming to me as a patient, and you honestly, there are a series of steps you've got to follow. You've got to make yourself ready and prepared to want to make change. It can't be just a thought saying, oh, I'm going to make change and try to do it, because it's a mental thing. A lot of people eat because of different things going on in life under stress and this and that. So you have to be ready to kind of fight those urges, such as your Milky Ways or, you know, your meat and potatoes all the time. And once you make that decision, we'll sit down, we'll go over your diet, do a diet analysis, see what vitamins you're lacking, this and that. And,
oh, my God, I would love to find out that. I would love to have this these tests run on me. You know.
Well, actually, you know what you can do? Let's do this. If y'all both want to do this, send me a 24-hour little diet analysis, everything you eat, and the portion sizes. I'll run that through the computer, and you know, maybe next time when I get on air and tell y'all how y'all are eating.
That would be fun. Winston, we got to do this. We got to have
man.
At least once month with her. You know, I would be the guy that goes in the doctor and he comes back and he says, I don't know how you're alive. You know, that would be me. But,
well, you know, I consider nutrition, and people are like, oh, nutrition has got to be so easy. You know, it's about eating healthy or not. Well, no, it's not, because everyone's different. Everybody needs different diets. Different diets are for different people. And I consider nutrition preventative medicine. You know, what you eat now will reflect,
I've heard that every diet works for somebody. It's just a matter of finding the one that works for you.
Exactly. And you've got to have the patience. You've got to work through. And, you know, a lot of times when people are on their diets, they do have a tendency to, you know, they'll hit a plateau in their weight loss and they'll give up on their diet. They'll be at a certain weight for 6 months, maybe even a year before they'll actually, you know, kick off that, you know, extra few pounds. And so a lot of people will, you know, kind of give up. That's one thing you can't do, once you're, you know, wanting to make that change. And so it's actually kind of interesting.
It seems to me that the problem with that is that they're looking at a diet as a goal rather than a part of life.
Right. You know, everyone abuses the word diet. Honestly, I love the word diet, because to me, a diet is nothing but a lifestyle change. It is what you're eating and how you're eating. And people do abuse that term, and they hear the word diet. They don't want to try it. But, you know, as I was saying before, every diet will work for somebody. Atkins diet will work for some people. A Mediterranean lifestyle diet will work for somebody else. And honestly, even sometimes a high fat. It's beneficial to somebody. So it's kind of interesting, and there's definitely a lot of play in it.
Well, you know, how do you explain? I'm like a miracle of science, because I'm fit, I'm healthy, you know, I had a good weight, and I eat terribly, you know. So is that like a miracle, or?
That's just genes and metabolism, honestly, and it's going to catch up to you before too long if you don't watch it.
As long as I die before then, I'll be okay. You know, that's like Keith. You know, Keith rags me. You know, it's always good when you host this program to have legal advice. And we have lunch with our lawyer at least a couple of times a week. And Keith always says, what does he say, Winston? I've never been hungry enough to eat a vegetable. That's what he tells me every time I'm here. So he's never seen me hungry enough to eat a vegetable. But anyway, I got to ask you this, Ashley, to infuse a little bit of politics into this. You can give us a little prognosis. Now, I know when people are stressed, they tend to eat more. That's a way that some people, they say, deal with stress. So do you see half of America on the road to obesity with the Obama inauguration on Tuesday?
Is that going to start some binge eating? I'm one who totally does not eat when I'm stressed. And honestly, I probably eat more this week. And I know Tuesday I will just probably eat my kitchen out.
No, I'm the same way. I'm the opposite of that. I don't know what you said, but I'm the opposite of what I said. It's like when I'm stressed, Winston, I don't eat. When we were having the Euro conference here in November, I didn't eat for about 4 days.
Oh,
I had a glass. I had a bottle of wine and no food for 48 hours.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It was that week that Crystal noticed a downturn in profits. Crystal gives James quantity discounts.
The Crystal's is too close to my house.
Yeah.
What can I do?
But you have good fries. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry.
Now, this is coming from the girl that's been on a Chick-fil-A binge all week.
Oh, I love Chick-fil-A. Lord have mercy. That's good. But, you know, as I said before, everything's in moderation. And I don't say that loosely, like, oh, I can have fast food today, I can have a fast food tomorrow. That's not good. You know, fast food every once in a while, it's not going to kill you as long as you are eating a balanced diet.
I'm convinced that your body can handle just about anything in moderation.
Exactly.
Set tight, everybody. We got to go to break. Actually, just sit tight for a second. I don't know what, if anything, we accomplished in that segment, but it sure was a lot of fun. Was it not, Winston? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I did.
Well, we're going to pick it up on the other side before we move on with the rest of the program. Sit tight, everybody. The Political Cesspool returns on RBN right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Okay, we're having a little bit too much fun here on the show tonight. We got to get back to the gloom and doom and dire prospects for all conservatives that we normally talk about. And we'll do that with Steve Saylor, don't get me wrong. He's actually going to be coming on to talk about his newly released book entitled America's Half-Blood Prince. Can you figure out who that is, Winston?
Haven't a clue.
Well, we'll find out together. But we're concluding here with Ashley. She was kind enough to stay on with us for this short little segment here. So anyway, we're going to get back with her. We're going to send her our diets, and she's going to run them through the computer. And I know, Ashley, you said if anybody else has any questions about nutrition, they can send them into the show, and we'll get everybody eating right and eating healthy with your help, right?
Exactly.
We've just proclaimed Ashley the official dietitian of the political cesspool. So we're going to have the cesspool diet.
Now we got everything.
The cesspool super diet.
We really got it all now. Well, I gotta work this story in real quick. So Ashley, you just sit tight, and actually I'll let you and Winston tear this one apart. All right, it's about the student that auctioned off her virginity for $3.7 million.
Oh,
Natalie
I read that.
Dillon. And get this, Winston, she's only in America would a student who auctioned off her virginity to pay for her master's degree in family and marriage therapy. But anyway.
I thought she was British.
Well, what's the difference? She is British, actually.
The Atlantic Ocean.
Only in Britain, excuse me.
I thought she was in California.
Didn't see that. Anyway, this is a true story. Wherever she's from, it's still true.
Yeah.
I read it in the newspaper. It has to be true. Natalie Dillon, 22, claims that her offer for a one-night stand has persuaded 10,000 men to bid for sex with her. She says that as a woman pursuing her degree in women's studies, she is not demeaning herself. Yeah, she was. She is. Yeah, she is. Where'd you get Great Britain? She is from San Diego, California. Ashley knew it and we didn't. How about that?
Because she's on the ball and we are not.
San Diego, California.
It figures.
She says she was persuaded to offer herself to the highest bidder after her sister, Avia, who's a year older, paid for her own degree after working as a prostitute for 3 weeks, much to the relief of her parents, I'm sure.
Exactly.
But anyway, she said that she had a lot of attention from a wide range of men, including weirdos and those who get really graphic, and a lot of polite requests from rich businessmen, end quote. And she said that she would be willing to undergo medical tests for any doubters. This is the world in which we live in today, right, guys?
I wonder if she got any offers from former presidents.
Well, I guess that would depend on how – well, it wouldn't even depend on how good she looked. If you look at Monica Lewinsky and, you know, even Bill O'Reilly. Did you see his intern, how ugly she was?
But this is an absolutely disgusting story. And this girl –
that's why it's in the cesspool.
She's not being taken to task over this in the media, just like that.
They're just reporting it matter-of-factly. See, if the media would cover us matter-of-factly, that would be a step forward. But something like this gets just pretty much straightforward coverage.
It's a wretched world.
Ashley, you have any thoughts on this one?
Honestly, when I read it, there was nothing I could say. I was in complete utter shock. Actually, no, I take it back. I really wasn't in shock because of with everything going on in America. It does not surprise me. People are selling everything on eBay nowadays, you know, selling a little potato that looks like, you know, Jesus or looks like, you know, Richard Nixon. If they can sell that, why can't someone sell their virginity?
Any of this going on at your college?
honestly, there probably is. I would not be surprised.
I don't think it went on in my college either because I went to an all-male college. So.
You can imagine how popular an all-male college. You can imagine how popular Ashley is with her classmates being a political cesspool correspondent.
I think they'll all be jealous.
They're all jealous, you know, Winston.
They ought to be jealous.
They should be.
Well, we're going places.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there you go.
We've got an official dietitian now.
Exactly.
So I can stay healthy enough to go back to Palazan.
No.
And kill her career again?
Oh, gosh.
Ashley watched one of those interviews from her dorm. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was here at my house. And it was funny because I had a group of people over for
she was having a cesspool party.
Well, I was having it was a little group study, and they were listening in, and I had to try to defend you a little bit and, your ways and whatnot. It's actually kind of funny.
I can't believe that my point of view wouldn't be comparable with that of every college student.
No, and these were, a bunch of liberals. I think they were all liberals here in my house. It was kind of fun. It was actually kind of funny because later on in that class, I ended up being called a racist by somebody in the class.
Can you believe it, Winston?
Hey, join the club. You know, that's standard fare. If you're not being called a racist, you're not doing it right.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I didn't even bring up anything racial at all. I was just talking about a movie, Cool Runnings, and the guy, Jamaican guys.
Jamaican bobsled team.
Time out. We got to go to break. We got to let Ashley go. If you're friends with James Edwards, you're racist. We only got 10 seconds. Ashley, thanks for being with us tonight. We're going to get you our eating regimen, and you can analyze us at a later date. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Winston, set tight. We're going to get Steve Saylor on to go back to politics on the political cesspool. How about that?
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
You got to have a little bit of fun every now and then, and that's what the last few minutes have been about. But now, getting back to our standard fare. Well, I don't guess it's necessarily standard fare because we have a really, really great guest coming up, making his inaugural debut here on the Political Cesspool, a man that I have been reading for a long, long time. I'm very happy now to be able to make his acquaintance. Steve Saylor grew up in Los Angeles and attended the University of California at Los Angeles and Rice University. Like our first guest, John Derbyshire, he has served as a columnist for National Review. He is an American journalist, of course, and a movie critic for the American Conservative, a VDare.com columnist with our good friend Peter Brimelow, a regular on this show, and a former correspondent for UPI, among many other things. He writes about race relations, gender issues, politics, immigration, IQ, genetics, movie and sports, everything we talk about here on a nightly basis. Steve Saylor, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Well, thanks. That's quite an introduction you gave me there. So it's great to be here.
We do our best. And I understand that you have a newly released book with the provocative title America's Half-Blood Prince. We just couldn't figure out who you were talking about.
Yeah. yes, Alan Rickman's character in the upcoming Harry Potter movie.
I'll tell you, Alan Rickman is one hell of an actor.
He is, and he's just been great in all these roles going back to, Die Hard. My book is called America's Half-Blood Prince, Barack Obama's Story of Race and Inheritance. And it's basically a reader's guide to the president-elect's 1995 autobiography, which is one of the most widely purchased and probably least finished books of recent years. So it's basically, what I'm basically doing in the book is sort of emceeing a debate between Barack Obama's public image as of 2008, that was crafted by David Axelrod, as of him as the transcender of racial differences, versus what he wrote about himself at enormous length back in 1995. And as he subtitled his book back then, it's his life he saw as being a story of race and inheritance. And that's basically all there is in it for 460 pages. But there are other difficult pages, and the book's not really been well understood at all. So what I do is go through his autobiography and quote him at some length and, you know, bring out the major themes as he saw them in his life, what the meaning of his existence is, what his fundamental commitments are.
Now, I've heard that we mentioned Peter Brimelow earlier. A friend of Peter's was said to have influenced the writing of this book. Is that true?
Well, Peter talked me into it in a lot of ways. So, I've been writing for Peter on bedare.com. That's B as in Virginia, D-A-R-E.com for, going on 9 years now. So I said, Steve, you got to write a book. And so finally sat down and banged it out, just basically because I kept waiting for the mainstream media to actually sit down and read Obama's autobiography carefully and note the striking contradictions between what he said in 1995 and how he positioned himself from 2004 through 2008. But it didn't happen. You know, there's just a lot of self-deception going on, as everybody likes to see Obama, as Obama has said himself, as a blank screen on which they project their social fantasies. And we're seeing that, you know, come to a climax these days. Then reality will start setting in after Tuesday. But you probably won't read about it in papers for a long time.
Well, we'll read about it on VDurb.com, I can guarantee you. That's a site that I visit nearly every day. And if our listenership hasn't visited it before, then God help them. But Steve, you know, I watched, as I'm sure you did, the Victory Night festivities at Grant Park in Chicago, and it looked like the Night of the Living Dead out there with all of those people with just these crazed, almost hypnotized looks on their face, and almost all of them were white. Now, what were the various rationales for these various sets of white Americans to become so enthralled with the election of Obama?
Everybody has their own reason. There's really good reasons, like not liking John McCain, being sick of George W. Bush's presidency. But then there's a lot of other reasons that are just kind of, delusionary. I've heard it said that, now that Obama is president, we won't have affirmative action anymore because that shows that blacks can rise up to any position in life. I've seen all sorts of people jump on the idea that Obama is against affirmative action, despite him denying that completely. And, you know, basically his wife is, you know, a classic beneficiary of affirmative action.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout her entire career. It's not what you would call white guilt. I'm not a big believer that there really is such a thing as white guilt. What I see a lot of is kind of white status striving versus other white people. And in this, minorities are used basically as props to kind of gain a status of moral superiority over other whites. So you have all sorts of different reasons. Not very many of them have much to do with how Barack Obama saw his own life when he wrote about it at enormous length.
Well, Winston, I'm sure by now you're ready to chime into the discussion here.
Yeah. Winston?
Talking to John Derbyshire, I know you two are good friends. But he pretty much said exactly the same thing, that many white people embrace the mild capitalism of trying to they try to out-liberal each other. They try to prove that they are more culturally sensitive, and they will try to prove that they are less racist than every other white person. And they do that and make themselves look like asses in the process.
Yes, it's a huge, huge factor in our society today. What you see is kind of enormous. I mean, I was just looking through George Orwell's 1984 and the long, a term that is used in the newspeak language of the totalitarian state in Orwell's book is called crime stop, where you start, your brain starts following some thread of logic that is leading you toward a thought crime or crime think, and then, boom, the hammer comes down, you immediately shut it off, you realize, you sort of realize where you're going, and then you just develop a strong aversion toward actually following the truth wherever it goes. And this kind of crime stop thinking is just beaten into people's heads all the way through the educational system, through the mass media, and it really shuts down intelligent thought about this enormous topic of race, such that Barack Obama can constantly be described as somebody who's not interested in race, who has paid no attention to it, who has, because he comes from, because where he was raised and whose parents were and so forth, is just above all that. But you know, when you just look at the subtitle of his autobiography, it's a story of race and inheritance. And nobody goes there because, boom, Crime Stop comes down. And they start worrying, oh my God, if we start following out the facts to where they lead, this could get us in, this could make us quite unpopular.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, Steve, it's so interesting that you said that in so many words, because that was actually one of the questions written on my notes tonight to ask you. And that was, why have so few people noticed that Dreams from My Father is, as it says right there in the subtitle, a story of race and inheritance? Why hasn't that been played upon?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, one, I mean, we saw it with, with the mass media never noticed Jeremiah Wright's existence until February 13th, long after 42 of the 50 states had already voted in the primaries. And all of a sudden, finally, when they started playing some of his sermons, and people started to notice. Now, Wright has a major role in Obama's book, Dreams for My Father. He takes up 22 pages of the autobiography. He is pretty close to being Obama's surrogate father. I mean, Obama's life has, there's always been this aching void when he thinks about his parents. His father abandoned him before he can even remember. He only saw him for a month. His mother spent an enormous amount of effort pumping up his father's image in Obama's mind as this great leader of the black race, and that is the proper thing for you to do, is to follow your father's footsteps and gain personal political power in service of the black race. But his mother also abandoned him twice. She dumped him on his grandparents in Hawaii, both when he was 10, and then again about 5 years later, to go to live in Indonesia with his half-sister. So he went all the way through his, through his whole life, he's had to deal with abandonment by his parents. And that has had a major impact on him, that he's taken a lot of his unhappiness, as you can see in the book, and kind of twisted it into a racial issue. He grew up in upper middle class Honolulu, attending the top prep school in the state. His classes were probably about two-thirds white and about one-third mixed of all sorts of different kinds of people. Very tolerant, but he saw his but he'd been raised by his mother to see racial oppression all about him. Now the question is, why isn't this well understood when Obama kind of hammers on it for 460 pages? Well, one thing is, he's a very good writer in many ways, but he's not at all a clear writer. His style is kind of a combination of the literary and the lawyerly. You have long, the sentences are long and sort of indirect, that you just have to read it at a very, you know, you have to read it, extremely carefully to follow what's going on. I mean, part of what he's done is he's developed this kind of, way of speaking and writing. It's not designed, it's intended mostly to lull people into sort of a trance, kind of a Zen state, where they don't really follow what he's saying, but they just sort of become impressed with his, personal charisma. And then when they think about it afterwards, they can't really follow what he said, so they just decide he must agree with them. So there's that aspect. Dreams for My Father is a difficult book. It's not a very exciting book. Very little happens in it. There's almost nothing dramatic. And it's also, if you first saw Obama on television, such as at the 2004 Democratic Convention, or you heard people talking about him or something like that, you develop this impression of him that's totally different from how he describes himself in the book. And so that's a big problem. I mean, one of the things is I don't watch that much television, so I just picked up his book first a couple of years ago and started reading it. Oh, this is fascinating. This isn't anything at all like the impression I was picking up. But I just didn't have, but so I just kind of came with sort of to him with sort of a blank slate and just read what he'd written. So, anyway, that's a long answer to that question.
Well, it was a good answer to that question, that's for sure, because it seems as though as much as people think they know about the soon-to-be president, they don't know the half of it, and particularly a lot, and it's a lot that's troubling about his past. You touched on a lot of things in your answer there parallel some of the questions I have here, but I got to ask you this because we have about 3 minutes to break, and then of course we're keeping you on for a couple of more segments. But in chapter two of your book, you stated that, and I quote, since 2004, Obama has cleverly insinuated into the public mind that he is the political Tiger Woods. How has he done that, and what exactly does it mean?
Well, when Tiger Woods emerged on the golf scene in 1997, Nike, his sponsor, wanted to present him as a black athlete. Tiger Woods then said, well, yeah, I'm black, but I'm also Thai, but you know, I'm also kind of part white and American Indian and Chinese. And he kind of joked that he made up this name for himself as a Caucasian Asian, Caucasian black, Indian Asian when he was a kid. Tiger, you know, he did the idea of saying you're one thing means you're kind of rejecting one of your parents if you come from a mixed marriage. So Tiger definitely didn't want to reject his mother. So Obama was kind of able to play on that, and you see all sorts of references to people kind of think of Tiger Woods when they think of Obama. But in truth, Obama spent extraordinary efforts to identify himself solely as black. And basically his book consists of 460 pages of him trying to convince other people, and especially himself, that he's black enough to be a black leader. And that is the overwhelmingly dominant theme that runs throughout his book, his struggle to be black enough. And basically a whole lot of white people saw him as, oh, well, because he's got a white mother, etc., then he won't just identify with one ethnic group. But in truth, he spent enormous, had a tremendous struggle to identify just with one ethnic group. And that's what he's written about.
But Steve, just hold that thought right there. We got to go to a commercial break. We're going to bring you back, of course, in just a moment as the political cesspool continues tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network and our affiliate stations nationwide. Of course, coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM right here in Memphis, Tennessee. The very esteemed Steve Saylor continues with us right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys. So today, I'll
be standing right by his side. Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you as we continue on with Steve Saylor, one of my favorite columnists. Be sure to read his work at vdare.com, vdare.com. Steve, we had, of course, John Derbyshire on earlier in the program tonight. He made me promise that I would tell you, first of all, to send you his regards, and secondly, tell you that his mugshot is better looking than your mugshot.
So. Yeah, that's, he always puts a knife in there and twists it around a little bit there. Yeah. No, John's a great guy.
Well, that being said, I guess I would consider now the message to have been delivered. Back to topic. I want to talk to you, and I know you and Winston were talking during the commercial break about this matter, Obama's relationship or lack thereof with his father. Winston, I know that leads you to a question that you were asking of Steve during the break.
It does. I had tried to read some of this book, and I'm a pretty good reader. I have an English degree, so I have to be a pretty good reader. And I found it to be literary Teflon. It just would not stick in my brain. It was a nothing sandwich. And Steve, the question that I have is how factual is his book? It seems like, well, there's something missing there, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, there's a couple things going on. One is, in terms of fact being factual, it's pretty factual. I'd probably put it up about 80% or something like that. Although there's a huge amount left out. There's basically, if most people, when they write an autobiography, they put in funny stories, they put in meetings with famous people. Obama left it all out. He's just not really that much interested in anybody outside himself and his family. And so that's what the book is all about. Some of it that I followed up on is pretty accurate. For example, there's a scene in Kenya when he's 27. When he's visiting Kenya, and he meets for the first time his half-brother through his father's third wife. His father had seven or eight children by four different women. And for example, his marriage to Obama's mother was bigamous. He was already married in Kenya. But Obama in 1988 met his half-brother Mark for the first time in Kenya. Mark was the son of Obama Sr.'s third wife and second white American wife, Ruth. Mark was getting his physics master's degree at Stanford. So Mark's a real bright guy. He's at least on Obama's intellectual level. Obama couldn't stand him. They had lunch once, and then Obama
Steve, if you don't mind just holding it right there, apologize. Got to go to break. We're going to pick it up with where you're leaving it off when the political cesspool returns at the top of the third hour. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Steve Saylor right after this.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.